Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm back. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here, the Eric Erickson Show, across the state of Georgia, from the North Georgia Mountains to the Florida line, from the Chattahoochee to the Atlantic. It is me back. Happy New Year to you. It's kind of weird to come back to work today. I had to take my wife to get her oil changed this morning. Not her oil change, the car's oil changed, and there was nobody on the road. I was like, man, I'm one of those suckers who came back the day after the first instead of taking Thursday and Friday off. But I am here. Thanks to Chris Burns for filling in while I was gone. I was telling him this morning, telling Charlie, I'm kind of jealous to come back. People are going to be calling saying, hey, we like that guy better. Quick check of the radar for you. Around the state, we've got a lot of rain moving in. Still heavy rain in Rome and Dalton. Over towards Clarksville, you're going to get some more rain. Athens as well, got another band here in Macon. We've got more rain moving in momentarily. It's headed down from Forsyth. So, and then down in South Georgia, you got a lot of rain. Vidalia, Valdosta, you're mostly in the clear right now, but you're going to get some as well. As all this storm system comes in, I won't keep checking radar for you. But just as we start the show, we got rain around the state. Now, the phone number, we're fully operational back from the new year. We do have phones if you want to call in. 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. And we got a ton of stuff to talk about. I've been making a list for the last 2 weeks of stuff that I wanted to talk about. It won't be repetitive too much from when Chris was filling in. But, you know, the big story that we're going to, believe it or not, people are still talking about this story from over the weekend. And it's kind of a ridiculous encapsulation of every other story that we will probably talk about today. And we begin, of course, with Pope Slap, Pope Gate, the Pope, some woman. I'm assuming by now everyone has seen the video. Even my kid has seen the video. A woman grabbed the Pope by his hand. He winced. He was clearly in pain, and she jerked him towards her, and he slaps her hand and pulls his hand away. Well, and then he apologized and said women shouldn't be hit. And it's become this media sensation where you have CNN running a story. Basically, the Pope's a hypocrite that he hits a woman and then says violence against women is wrong. That's CNN's story on their website. Reuters as well. Pope hits woman. He's an 83-year-old man. I'm Presbyterian. I put the fun in fundamentalism for when it comes to Calvinism. The Pope grabbed, his hand is grabbed by this woman. He did not consent. She yanks him towards her. He's 83. She nearly throws him off balance, and the media is upset that the Pope slapped her hand away. He yanked his hand back, and she wouldn't let go. He had to pop her hand. And when you look at all of the stories that we're probably going to be dealing with today, well, I mean, there are a few of them. We'll get into the UGA, Baylor game here, and we got LSU and Clemson. The number of jokes. Can someone please come up with a joke other than, I bet the Tigers are going to win that game? It's like the people on the 31st saying, I'm going to sleep till the new year. In any event. So the media blows up what is, let's just admit, a stupid story. And turns it into some sort of attack on the Pope, when it's the Pope himself who was actually attacked by this woman. An 83-year-old man pulled off balance by a younger woman who wouldn't let go of his hand. And of course he responds, I would too. I'm totally Team Pope on this, and I ain't Team Pope. But compare this now to what happened in Iraq. We have Iranian forces organizing protests at the American embassy in Iraq. And what is the natural immediate reaction of members of the media? Oh, if only he hadn't cut the Iran deal. This would not be happening if he had stuck with Barack Obama's Iran deal. Or my personal favorite was, this is Trump's Benghazi. In fact, so there's a left-wing group called, Vote Vets, I think is the left-wing group. they rushed as this was happening. Now, for those of you who don't know, Iranian protesters showed up and they showed up at the embassy. They were protesting American presence in the Middle East. In particular, they were protesting the American presence in Iraq. They want the Americans gone. They were clearly organized by Iranians. This comes on the heels of an Iranian attack on American positions in northern Iraq. And this Vote Vets group immediately runs out as these protesters are trying to storm the gates of the American embassy. And what does the group say? This is your Benghazi now, Mr. President, ridiculing him for saying Hillary Clinton needed to be held accountable for Benghazi. Well, it wound up not because contrary to the Obama administration, the Trump administration was not asleep at the wheel on this. Here's Secretary of State Mike Pompeo talking about holding Iran accountable.
You saw the president say today, we will continue to hold the Islamic Republic of Iran accountable wherever we find their malign activity, and we'll make sure we have the resources to do so. I'll leave to the Department of Defense to talk about specifics, but make no mistake about what the guidance President Trump has given to both the State Department and the Department of Defense is to make sure that we have all that we need to perform the missions.
All that they need to perform their missions. Here's Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Davis.
But the things we have to focus on here is beyond just the politics, because I think especially in an election year, you can expect both sides to use anything they can to damage the other side. But President Trump has been very firm in defending American interests, putting American interests first, which I strongly endorse, because that's why I say we should withdraw our troops. But he will defend us no matter what, and he's not going to allow a situation, especially like what happened in Benghazi, to where American personnel were killed because of the slowness of the defense response. And that's not going to happen here.
What is Iran trying to get out of this?
Well, the big problem with this, and a lot of people say, hey, the maximum pressure campaign is succeeding. Well, the only thing it's succeeding in doing is making Iran more provocative and making them move towards more risky situations.
I need to pause this. Can I just say I love this guy's accent? As someone from the South, I can say I love this guy's accent. You can tell that this guy, he could like get in a pickup truck with a couple of guns and a cooler full of beer, and he and his buddies could take out the Taliban. I'm sorry. We should continue.
Really do want to negotiate a better deal to end that situation here. We have to be willing that for Iran to come out with something like a win. Otherwise, you won't have any negotiations, and these kinds of things are going to continue on. And again, that's just not in our interest to do that.
Wait, what does that mean? We need for Iran to be able to come out with a win.
Right. If you're going to negotiate something, both sides have to get something that they want. And that means that we can't just say everything that we want is going to happen. You're just going to do it, because they're just not going to operate that way. No one will do that. So we have to say, what are your requirements and what are your needs? And we have to give them something, because look, be honest, if they don't get anything that's a win, what is their motivation to do what we want them to do?
We're going to send over the troops. We're going to take care of the situation. Oh, the president of the United States is not going to let a Benghazi happen on his watch. And I do find it very, very notable. I think it is instructive. It is a very instructive moment that the initial reaction, not just from, and listen, I realize we have a lot of fun saying the media and the Democrats, but I repeat myself. I do want to distinguish here. I very much want to distinguish, because this actually is the media here, and it is partisan progressive activists. It is not the Democrats. We'll get into the dynamic at play here. The New York Times, of all things, actually has a very good story out today that we should consider here. This is the media. It is not elected Democrats, and we need to distinguish that, because it is very instructive that it's the media and not elected Democrats that immediately rush to Benghazi. Benghazi. This is Donald Trump's Benghazi. There was I don't say this lightly, and I need you to understand that. I don't like to say this, but it was almost celebratory. There was a level of reveling in the fact that Donald Trump was going to have his Benghazi moment. There were media outlets. There were partisan progressive activists. There were not elected Democrats doing this. There were partisan progressive activists. You had one guy, he writes for The Guardian, The Huffington Post, a couple of left-wing sites. He's out there cheering on Iran's leaders, saying that they will fight back against the United States. Yeah, Ben Rhodes, Obama's creative writing director, who advised him on national security, saying that had he stuck with the Iran deal, this wouldn't have happened. You know, Iran is able to do what they're doing because the Obama administration poured a bunch of money into Iran so they could build up these militia groups in the Middle East that are funded by Iran. Iran could not have done what it did over the weekend but for the Obama administration's Iran deal. And there are Democrats who say, but they didn't do this when the Iran deal was going on. Clearly, yeah, but they were continuing to build up their nuclear presence, which they're continuing to do. They were shifting funding around and dodging and distracting. And part of the problem here is that the media has not been willing to be honest about the situation. They were so in on the Obama administration's agenda that they could not be honest about what Iran was actually doing. And now they're blaming Donald Trump for the Iran issues. Y'all, listen, I realize we've reached a moment of where the press has become highly partisan. I realize we've reached a moment where the press is anything and everything to do with Donald Trump is bad. And I want to spend a little bit of time on this here in a few minutes. When we come back, I'll spend a few minutes on it, and I want to shed some light on this. But what I'm really kind of offended by, and I suspect all of you are as well, is there is in the press now a giddiness over anything that happens to President Trump that is not good. And if it happens badly to the United States, if something bad happens to the United States, the same thing is at play in much of the press. They're giddy at it because of the political implications against the president. They are essentially rooting against the success of the United States, knowing that that will hurt the president. Look at all of the economic numbers that came out before we left for Christmas break. Record high employment, record low unemployment, record high stock market. In fact, the day after Christmas, the NASDAQ hit a record high. And you hear these conversations increasingly in the press that, oh, this is bad for us. We need the stock market to crater. We need something bad to happen on the foreign policy front. We need chaos in Afghanistan and Iraq to win. You have members of the media and partisan progressive activists, many of them the same, and they are giddy at anything that is bad because they think it can hurt Donald Trump. Now, one of the underlying issues that you need to understand here is that this is an admission against interest that what you see online is not necessarily reflective offline. Well, what do I mean by that? If you go online and you look at a lot of reporters on social media, interact with them on Twitter, there is a prevailing sentiment out there that the president is toast. That it doesn't matter what the president does come 2020, the president is not going to win re-election. And I've got to tell you, there is a lot of data out there that needs to trouble Republicans. For example, one of the most consistent poll numbers out there has been that 55% of self-described independents aren't sure who they want to vote for, but they know they want to vote against Donald Trump. Essentially, they're anybody but Donald Trump. And these are people who in the past voted for Mitt Romney and John McCain, and they want to go with a Democrat, or they want to sit home so they don't give a vote to Donald Trump. But look at the individual polls, the swing states and the like. There's polling out of Virginia from Mason Dixon. Mason Dixon is one of the great pollsters in the country. Donald Trump beats every single Democrat except Joe Biden, and with Biden, it's only 4 points. Have you heard a lot about that poll? Mason Dixon is one of the highly respected pollsters in the country. And it wasn't just that you were on vacation, and I know it wasn't just that you were on vacation. I was on vacation, too, and I was paying attention to the story to see how it played in the national press, and it's not. In Virginia, Donald Trump beats every single Democrat on the ballot except Joe Biden. In Florida, Donald Trump beats all of the Democrats except Joe Biden. In Georgia, Donald Trump beats all of the Democrats. Every single one of them. And yet, we continue to have stories peddled about Georgia being a swing state. In Iowa, the president's doing well. In Michigan, the president's doing well. In Pennsylvania, the president's doing well. Now, sure, some can say, well, this is holiday polling. It's holiday polling. Holiday polling isn't quite accurate. Yeah, that's true. You could say it's holiday polling, except it's a pretty consistent trend line across states. And so what now is the media doing? Well, they're responding with such nuttiness as, oh, the president's going to have his Benghazi, and we're gonna turn it on him. Or we got to have the stock market crash. Or playing up every little bit of bad news as much as they can. I kid you not, NBC News is even on the attack against the president on banning vaping. But you know why they're attacking him? Because he's not banning enough vaping. They got to find a way to go after him. We'll get into that when we come back. Eric Erickson here. The phone number, if you want to be a part of the program, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. The phone lines, yes, they're open.
I really do like his opinion on things.
Eric Erickson, the information you need and the truth you demand.
He tells it like it is.
Live every weekday.
By the way, we will get back to recipes this week. I took last week off. You were all gorging on your Christmas fixings anyway. You didn't need it. But if you want the recipe list, for those of you who don't know, I send out a recipe. I try to every week, a different recipe. I'm a big believer that we should be breaking bread with each other and you around your house. If you text the word recipe to 33777, I will send you, you'll get a request back for your email address, and I'll start emailing you recipes every week. Text recipe to 33777. Okay, I got to play this audio for you. Remember, the president was being praised. Now, I personally think it's stupid. Let me tell you how I feel first. We'll take your phone calls as well, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. I personally think that raising the cigarette age to 21 is stupid nanny statism. And I personally think banning vaping is ridiculous. They are using this moral panic over some people dying from vaping as a way to ban it. And they're not entirely banning it. They're banning the fruity flavored vapes. And the reason they're doing it in particular is because a lot of kids under the age of 18 have gravitated towards it. Now, interestingly enough, this is related to raising the cigarette smoking age to 21. Do you know who was a big proponent of raising the age of smoking to 21? Any guesses? The cigarette industry. That's right. The major cigarette manufacturers in this country were supportive of raising the age of smoking to 21. They actually pushed it. And do you know why they pushed it? They pushed it because otherwise they were going to get regulated on vaping, and they're making a killing on vaping. So the president is banning vaping products that are fruity flavored and whatnot, but they're going to continue to allow non-flavored menthol and whatnot nicotine-loaded vaping. They're doing it with the moral panic based on the people dying from, I think they've now narrowed it down to vitamin E acetate that was in some vaping products. Mostly it was people buying marijuana vape cartridges, not actually tobacco vape cartridges. And they were buying, it was the marijuana vape cartridges they were buying on a black market, not like if you go to Las Vegas, there are huge dispensaries, and in California there are. They weren't getting them there. It was people buying them elsewhere on the black market. Some of them potentially recycled, some of them fake, and that's what was happening. But they're using that as the launch pad to ban stuff. Let me play this NBC News clip.
To snuff out the nation's vaping crisis, President Trump is choosing to compromise.
We'll be taking it off the flavors for a period of time, certain flavors.
Reportedly, all the sweet-tasting pods that are driving teen vaping. But menthol and tobacco will still be available. And vape shops still allowed to sell flavored liquids so adults can make their own e-cigs.
We're going to protect our children, and we're going to protect the industry.
Yet even with the new 21-year age limit to buy e-cigarettes and other tobacco products, public health advocates say children will still be at risk.
If simply raising the age of sale would work, we wouldn't have over 5 million kids under the age of 18 today using these products. We need to do both. We need to raise the age, and we need to eliminate the flavors which have fueled this epidemic.
The administration initially promised a ban on all flavors in September, but the $24 billion vaping industry organized. touting its more than 13,000 independent shops with some 58,000 jobs, and threatening to withhold political support, running this ad in Palm Beach while the president vacationed.
If you enact a flavor ban, this will cost you the election.
The president trying to address a public health crisis while supporting an industry, all in an election year.
Compromise. He didn't go far enough. It's not all being banned. Here's the thing you need to know, and I'm shocked by this. Believe it or not, the vaping ban sells very well with who? Suburban moms. The demographic the president wants to get back. And now suddenly he's being attacked by a news industry that's been wanting this for a while because he compromised. Well, it turns out Julian Castro was actually still running for president, and the only way we know it is because he's announcing he's dropping out of the presidential race a month before Iowa. Yeah, we're about 4 weeks from the Democrats starting to cast their votes on the nominee. It's going to be Joe Biden. You know, I had my doubts there several months ago that it was going to be Biden, but, man, every bit of news out there now actually helps Biden. The downside for Biden, and I want to spend some more time on the Democrats later. I don't actually want to get into a ton of it right now. We'll get into more probably in the third hour, depending on how things wind up. But every scenario in Iowa right now helps Joe Biden. But Joe Biden doesn't have a lot of money. Bernie Sanders has the most money. And the Bernie bros hate everybody but Bernie Sanders. It's going to be fun to watch. By the way, this is why so many presidents win second terms, is because the other side feuds over fundraising and runs out of cash trying to secure the nomination. And that's certainly happening with Joe Biden. Now, we'll get into all of this. But so here's the thing. I played for you the clip before we went to break about vaping and NBC News knocking the president for his compromise. Now, it's not a complete ban on vaping. They want a complete ban on vaping. Playing this up, there were a lot of people who ran attack ads against the president in swing districts saying that, Mr. President, if you ban vaping, you're going to lose the election. It's popular with a lot of people. I'm sorry. Let me just, I have strongly held opinions on vaping. I am going to apologize to everyone in advance. I'm going to apologize for all of the radio stations. We don't need to put me on delay here because you don't need to bleep me. I'm just going to tell you, people who vape look like a bunch of butt monkeys blowing steam out of their mouth. It's ridiculous. Yes, I just said butt monkey on radio. It's stupid. Where was I yesterday? I was coming out of my local Publix here in Macon yesterday, and there was some hipster in his skinny jeans who he shouldn't. I mean, listen, there's no way I would wear skinny jeans. This guy had to have a crowbar to get himself into these skinny jeans. He had no business doing it. I have no business wearing skinny jeans. Have you seen me? We're working on it, but come on. This guy had no business being in skinny jeans with his Converse old school high tops that weren't even tied, and then some sort of flannel shirt and a hipster hat on. Dude was not young. First of all, he wasn't young enough, and second, he had to have a crowbar to get into those pants. But he had this stupid vaping device, and he comes out of the Publix, and he can't wait to blow steam in every direction. Who does that? People who should not, that's who. People who should know better. I just thought, you know, he had a woman with him. I don't know if she was on commission or what, but he has this woman with him. And I'm just thinking, this woman is not your friend. I don't know if she's related to you or married to you or what, but she's not your friend. Because if she was your friend, one, she would tell you, don't dress like you're 13. And two, don't look like a steam-blowing butt monkey coming out of Publix. Blowing steam. The whole thing is ridiculous. I mean, just get a freaking cigarette. At least you look somewhat like you know what you're doing, as opposed to this device that blows steam everywhere. Fruity-flavored steam. You're not 12. It's just the whole thing disgusts me. It is such a estrogen thing for men. That's what it is. It's like estrogen implants for men. The whole thing is ridiculous. Yes, I have strongly held it. Listen, I'm sorry if you're offended. I'm sorry if you're listening right now and you're offended because I'm telling you you're a steam-blowing vape, butt monkey by vaping. But it's true. You look ridiculous, and you just need to know. Someone needs to tell you, you look ridiculous. Charlie says to stop saying that. Okay. I will move on. But still, you look ridiculous. And I'm still opposed to the president banning it. I'm still opposed to the president doing what he did. But I think it's ridiculous that he's now being attacked by the media for compromise on the issue. The president sold out to the tobacco lobby. Well, first of all, he shouldn't have done it at all. Because if you want to look ridiculous, vaping, go for it. I don't care. And no one else should care either. And to the extent that they're going to say, well, we're going to do it because we have high school kids. Now, listen, I want to say this before I get a text message because I know there are teachers listening because they're not back in school yet. And I want to be very clear here. Whenever I get on the subject, I have a ton of teachers who reach out to me and say, but you don't understand. There are so many kids in high school vaping right now. You know what? I do understand. I've had this conversation with parents whose kids go to different schools from mine. It's not really a problem at my kid's school, but in some of the other schools in our area, middle and high school kids who are vaping, the fruity, and I get it. It is a problem. But what is the legal purchase age? Who is buying the products? Who is giving them the products? The same will happen with cigarettes. Now, the difference, several teachers have told me, is that when you're smoking a cigarette, you smell like a cigarette. When you smoke one of these fruity-flavored vape things, you may not smell at all. Or you smell like you've had fruity-flavored gum or something. So I understand that. I don't want to make light of the concern here. And you do need to understand the concern as to why the president did this is because there is a lot of concern in the polling. And that's it. In the polling, there's a lot of concern among suburban women about their children vaping out of sight. And they want someone to do something about it because they're not doing anything about it. And as a result, they are they're seeing the president take a position that will be supportive with suburban moms. And the media has decided they need to twist this on him because this is something suburban moms support. And they can't dare have the president get support from suburban moms in 2020. So they've now got to make it sound like the president sold out to the tobacco lobby. Again, this is a recurring pattern today in so many of the stories. We need to move on to the bad story, to the big story, to the story that we should all be paying attention to. When I left, when did I go on vacation? The week before Christmas, I went on vacation. And I'd put it off and I'd put it off and I'd put it off. And I finally, the Friday before I went on vacation, I finally had to say, I've got to point out there's a rise of anti-Semitism in this country. And it is happening with the alt-right. It is happening on the alt-left. It is happening in the mainstream left. It is a growing concern in this country. And then sure enough, during Hanukkah, we had this attack in New York City. And the immediate reaction from progressive partisans was that this is yet another example of white nationalists who are fueled by the rhetoric of Donald Trump, who are out to get Jewish people and harm them. Except it wasn't. It was a black man who was the attacker, the alleged attacker, I guess we're supposed to say, who apparently his family said this was an anomaly. He wasn't anti-Semitic, and yet now we know he had a bunch of writings from Hitler, among other things. It believes in this Jewish conspiracy. This comes on the heels of the woman on the school board in Jersey City, New Jersey, talking about how the Jews are coming into their community and buying up property and bringing in drugs and prostitution and dragging black people down. I am amazed by the recirculation of anti-Semitic tropes, and it's increasingly happening on the left. Now, I want to thread this needle carefully here for you. There are a group of people who consider themselves Trump supporters. Some of them actually no longer consider themselves Trump supporters because the president is too pro-Israel. Like the synagogue attacker out in California condemned the president and his pro-Israel policy. He was made out to be some sort of Trump-supporting white nationalist, but in fact he attacked the president because the president was doing too much for Israel, and he couldn't be his president because the president was a Jew lover. When the media sees anti-Semitic attacks by white nationalists, their first reaction is to rush out and say, this is all Donald Trump's fault. It's all Donald Trump's fault. You know, Donald Trump has emboldened these people. Donald Trump has made it possible for these people to hate. Donald Trump has made it possible for these people to come out of the shadows. There's a story out today, basically, an op-ed I see being circulated by a bunch of blue checkmark people on social media that Donald Trump has allowed hate to come out of the shadows. It's always been there, but it's been in the shadows. And now, because he's president, he's allowed it to come out. Except the attack in New York City, like so many of the attacks that are happening in New York City, the ones that don't get covered, attacks on Jews in New York City are like gun violence in Chicago. The media chooses not to cover them because they don't fit the right narrative. But they're growing. They're a problem. And this one was too prominent to be ignored by the media. One of the people still hospitalized. They're not sure if he'll ever come out of his coma. He's going to have brain damage, more likely than not, by this machete-wielding attacker in New York. It's become a real problem on the left, and the left can't actually process it. The Atlantic, the Daily Beast, other left-wing publications have all written their explainers, you know, trying to explain to you that it's all conservatives' fault. And the reality is it's not conservatives' fault. The reality is it is progressive, left-wing, the local community, poisoned in the mind attacks on Jews. It's increasingly prominent in certain areas of New York City, and the Daily Beast and the Atlantic and other left-wing publications tell you it's complicated. See, if it's a white person who attacks, it's apparently very easy. It's very straightforward. It's all Donald Trump's fault. That's the way to explain it. Just blame Trump. Blame Trump for everything. A radical who denounces Donald Trump for being too pro-Israel goes into a synagogue and shoots up the place, and it's all Donald Trump's fault. You see, his rhetoric allowed these people to come out of the woodwork. He's allowed the hate to fester. He's allowed it to come public. It's always been there. Bigoted Americans have always been bigoted Americans, but now Donald Trump's allowed it to come out. But then when it's a black attacker, when it's a progressive activist who attacks or says something anti-Semitic, it's complicated. We can't really do this. What was so interesting is when the attack came out, when the announcement was made, before anyone knew who the attacker was, you had a bunch of blue check marks on Twitter rushing out immediately to say, hey, it's another white nationalist. It's a white nationalist. And some of those people were even trying to say how the white nationalism has polluted the mind of certain black citizens in the country. And that these black people are now white nationalists too. If you attack someone who's Jewish, you're a white nationalist. It doesn't matter what race you are, because Trump. They can't get the story straight, and now it's complicated. It's all complicated. What's complicated about believing mythologies about Jews and attacking them? What's complicated about believing mythology and acting out? But there's a problem, isn't there? I have to be careful here because I know what's going to happen, but I'm going to say this, and it's going to upset some people. There was a story last week in the media. Man gives birth to child with help of female donor. I'll leave out the word. There may be children present. We don't need to get into that discussion. Now, if you do have kids in the car or you're scratching your head over this, it is biologically impossible for a man to give birth with a female donor. Not of an egg, mind you, but of the male substance that causes pregnancy. Yeah, it's physically impossible. Women don't create that substance and men do not produce eggs. But that was the headline in the media. And there were a lot of people, when conservatives pointed out this is anti-science, this it doesn't work this way. There were a lot of people who said, well, how does this affect you? Well, you shut up. It doesn't affect you, you bigot, you transphobe. See, this is part of the problem here. It does affect us, does it not? It completely affects us because the media wants to lecture us on a daily basis now about truth. And Republicans want to be lied to. And there are true things Republicans won't believe. Well, here comes the media peddling this nonsense. It's not true. It's anti-science. It's not true. Men cannot get pregnant. Women cannot be donors unless it's of eggs. And yet the media pushes this nonsense and then wants to lecture us. Well, this doesn't affect you. Yes, it does affect us. Truth matters. And truth matters all around. And what we have now is we're in a situation where there's moral relativism, not moral objectivity. True things are no longer true things. They're only true if you want to believe them. And this creeps down into society in various ways. Some of them turn violent. There are enclaves of New York City where the local residents believe the Jews have come in and taken over businesses and brought in drugs and prostitution to undermine and drive back into servitude black people. Who are you to tell them that's not true? When you're willing to believe all sorts of things that aren't true, when you're morally relativistic, they can be morally relativistic. I mean, the issue here now, this comes on the heels also of a church shooting in Texas. We'll get more into that and the outrage there. But the media, the only big difference now is the mob is not with the people who attacked the Jewish people in New York, and the mob is not with the people, with the man who attacked the people in the church, not with the shooter in the church. But the mob is very much willing at the moment to turn on anyone who dares to point out the truth that men can't have babies. And the media goes along with that. And this trickles down across society, across the board in various ways, and upends what is right and what is normal and what is true. So you can develop these pockets of mythology-believing enclaves in the United States where they really can believe absurd notions like the Jews are coming in and re-enslaving black people by getting them addicted to drugs and prostitution. And they want to lash out at the Jews because the Jews did it. It's not true. But who are you to tell them it's not true when you believe so many things that the up is down and down is up and right is wrong and wrong is right? All of these different issues, they seem completely unconnected. And at surface they are, but deep down it has to do with a lot of societal decay. And a lot of that societal decay has to do with the disruption of what is true and right and normal and good. And the media wants to lecture Republicans that you want to be lied to, you don't know what's true anymore, and yet the media peddles half these lies. And then when it comes to dealing with these situations, like the attack on the Jewish people in New York during Hanukkah, the response from the media initially is, oh, it's got to be white supremacism because of Trump. And when it turns out it's not, that oh, it's complicated. No. What is complicated about attacking Jewish residents of New York City? It's not complicated. It's evil. But you can't have that discussion anymore in the media because evil depends on moral objectivity and absolute truth, and the media is incapable anymore of dealing with those issues.
Politics, news, religion. Eric Erickson talks about all the things you're not supposed to talk about every weekday and some cooking, too.
Hello there. It is Eric Erickson. And yes, the phone lines actually are open. My call screener, producer, indispensable right hand is back from Montana, where he escaped for several weeks of snow and relaxation with his family. Made me jealous. But he's back. He's answering phones. You can call 877-97-ERIC. Remember, it's E-R-I-C-K. That translates to 877-973-7425. Okay, I got to play this clip. Now, you know, I have been fairly regular on Meet the Press. Up until the moment I said I would support the president in 2020, I was actually fairly regularly on Meet the Press. And suddenly not so much. That does remind me, I will be on Real Time with Bill Maher later this month out in L.A. But I know Chuck Todd. I actually like Chuck Todd. And I was really disappointed that NBC did this. We need to play this audio.
I want to read you guys a letter to the editor that we found in the Lexington Herald Leader. It was a fascinating attempt at trying to explain why some people support President Trump. Here's what he says. Why do good people support Trump? It's because people have been trained from childhood to believe in fairy tales. This set their minds up to accept things that make them feel good. The more fairy tales and lies he tells, the better they feel. Show me a person who believes in Noah's Ark and I will show you a Trump voter. Look, this gets at something, Dean, that my executive producer likes to say is, hey, voters want to be lied to sometimes. They don't always love being told hard truths.
Why do you have to smear people who believe in Noah's Ark? You know, full disclosure, I believe Noah's Ark is true. I believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. I believe it is God's holy word, and when God says Noah's Ark is true, it's true. You know who believed Noah's Ark was true? Jesus. Jesus, Matthew 24, talks about Noah's Ark. Are you going to say Jesus didn't know what he was talking about? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Nothing was created apart from the Word creating it. He kind of believed Noah's Ark was true. There are 53% of the planet is Muslim, Christian, or Jewish. And then you've got Hindus and others who also have flood tales. Clearly something happened very early in humanity's history when you have so many different religions that still to this day believe in a flood, whether regional or global. I think it was global. And let's just say of the, what is it, 1.82, you basically got 5 billion people on the planet out of 7 that truly genuinely believe, or 4.2 billion people who believe in a flood. You take half of that who believe literally that there was a flood. You're still talking over 2 billion people, and you're going to say they believe in a fairy tale, and you're going to use that as a basis to lecture Trump voters on truth. That was a terrible decision by Meet the Press. To mock people of faith, to say that people want to be lied to. There are people who want to be lied to, but they're also on the Democratic side and in the media as well, and they don't want to talk about that. That's part of the problem.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.